Today, we have two readings that both talk about blessings and curses. First is from the Old Testament, Jeremiah. And the second is our gospel reading from Luke, which we just heard. Both of them say, blessed are you if you do this, and then cursed are you, or woe to you. That's Jesus' language. Woe to you if you do this. Now, I know when we come to church, we generally like to hear blessings. We like to be told that we're blessed. Cursing, not so excited about that. And so we end up in church talking much more about blessing than cursing. But this emphasis today in these two readings on blessing and cursing, it does remind us that the Christian gospel, it's not one of unreserved affirmation of everything and everyone, but rather the gospel and Jesus, they're calling us to a specific type of life, right? A life of fullness, a life of joy, a life lived with God. And so we're being instructed, right? Guided, encouraged, warned, go this direction, not this direction. And that's what all this language today of blessing and cursing is all about. So looking at these two readings, first, again, Jeremiah from the Old Testament. And a reminder that Jeremiah was written, the context of Jeremiah is the period right before the fall of Jerusalem to the Babylonians in the 6th century. And during Jeremiah's ministry, he's calling the people back to God, calling them back to God's ways. And we hear that in our passage today. It says this, thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength. Whose hearts turn away from the Lord, they shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. So that's the cursed group of people. And then he says, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. So cursed are these people, blessed are these people. And what we see is that Jeremiah is telling us that this cursing and this blessing, it's the result of a decision. And that's a decision of who or what we're trusting in. What are we putting our faith in? That dictates whether you're blessed or cursed. So that means, according to Jeremiah, that being cursed or blessed, it doesn't depend on the amount of money in your bank account, doesn't depend on who you know, doesn't even depend on the state of your health. All these things that we tend to think about or associate with blessing. Rather, it depends on what we're trusting in. Now, the language that Jeremiah uses is the language of the heart. He talks about where the heart is directed or turned towards. The heart, as a reminder in the Bible, it's the organizing center of our life. That's how the Bible uses this phrase, heart. Right? The heart, it governs our actions, our decisions, our desires. It reflects our true values. And so, in the biblical vision, you can have a range of interests, you can have lots of different passions, you can love all sorts of things, but at the end of the day, you always have this organizing center to your life, this thing that guides you, that drives your emotions. And that, again, is the heart. And so Jeremiah tells us that we can give our heart to one of two things. We can give it to the world, the people of the world, the things of this world, or we can give it to God. And he's not saying that the world and the people of the world are bad. He's just talking about our ultimate trust, the organizing center of our life. And he's calling us, of course, to center our life in God, right? Again, that decides whether we're cursed or blessed. And I think an important comment here as we think about the nature of God, you know, when Jeremiah talks about this cursing and blessing, he's not actually naming God as the author of these things. He's not saying, you know, if you do this, God's going to be angry and he's going to curse you. Right? You're going to make him mad and he's going to cast down curses upon you. No, he's just saying that if you trust in the wrong thing, if the organizing center of your life, the heart, if it's misdirected, well, then life doesn't work out that well. You're going to be led to some pretty barren places. And the imagery that he uses is these two plants. The first plant is this bush that is planted in an uninhabited salt land, this barren place that's always looking for water, versus the tree, that's the one who trusts in God, whose roots are continually fed by this stream. Even in times of drought, it's nourished. So again, Jeremiah, he's challenging us, asking us, to whom or to what does your heart belong? What are you organizing your life around? That's the question he's posing. Now, keeping all that in mind, let's turn to Luke and look at the words of Jesus, because what we see here is that Jesus is doing something very similar to Jeremiah. And in fact, the church has given us these two readings because Jeremiah helps us interpret Jesus' words. So like Jeremiah, Jesus is using this format of blessing and cursing. But like Jesus tends to do, he pushes us a little bit further, gets a little more specific, starts to talk about different behaviors, and therefore it's a little more uncomfortable for us. We're told Jesus is with his 12 apostles and with a large group of disciples. So we remember Jesus wasn't just with the 12, that was his inner circle, but he had all these other disciples following him. So he's surrounded by all these disciples in a flat spot, and we're told that Jesus looks up at them and he begins to teach. So this morning, we can imagine Jesus looking up at us. We're his disciples. We're gathered around him. So he lifts his eyes up to us, and he says this: "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Blessed are you who are poor. Now, that's a little strange. Why are the poor blessed? Well, let's think about it in light of what Jeremiah said. You know, this emphasis on the heart. Who are the poor? Well, the poor are those who are not trusting in their wealth. They can't trust in it because they don't have it. So read it this way: Blessed are you if you have not directed your hearts towards wealth, where wealth and the accumulation of wealth has become the organizing center of your life. You are blessed, you are lucky, if you are not grounding your heart in that reality, if wealth isn't the ultimate goal of your life. He goes on: "Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled." So is Jesus glorifying hunger? No. Rather, think of it this way: how blessed you are, how lucky, if your heart does not belong to the sensual pleasures of this world, to food, to alcohol, to sex. These things aren't bad, of course. God created them. We're to enjoy them. But again, you're lucky, you're blessed, if your life isn't organized by these things, right? If these things aren't the main thing you're seeking, right? Where your happiness comes from. Blessed are you if that's not the case, because these things, they will not fill you up. Right? This type of life will leave you barren and dry. And we know that. Then he says this: "Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Read it this way. You are lucky, you are blessed, if you're not grounding your life and always feeling good, always seeking emotional highs, always trying to avoid pain and discomfort at all cost. Like wealth and sensual pleasures, good feelings, they cannot be the organizing center of your life. Instead, you need to be grounded in God. And then this one. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. So we're supposed to rejoice when people hate us. No, rather, think about it this way. You're blessed if you don't build your life on the affirmations of others, always needing to be honored, recognized, whether it's seeking titles or degrees or positions. Of course, it's not bad to be honored and affirmed, but we all know that high that comes from being honored, it doesn't last. And if you're needy for affirmation, you will never feel satisfied. Maybe for the moment, but not the next day. You need more. You get addicted to it. And it's so dangerous to do this, to put your life in the fickle moods of others. So again, you're blessed. You're lucky if you don't ground your heart in these passing affirmations. So you see what Jesus is doing. He's doing what Jeremiah was doing. He's challenging us. To whom or what belongs our heart, our deepest center? And then, of course, he turns to the curses. And what he does here in these curses is he addresses these exact same ideas, but now it's a warning. Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. In this phrase that's in there, you have received your consolation. Commentators, they argue this is a really important phrase to understand the curses, because the word Jesus uses here for have, you have received your consolation, it's a word for receiving full payment. And so what Jesus is saying is that if you set your heart and you bend your whole energies to obtain the things the world values, you may get them, but that is all you will get. On the other hand, if you set your heart and bend your energies, all your energies, to be loyal to God, to be true to Christ, you might run into all kinds of trouble. By the world's standards, you might not look blessed, but Jesus says you have payment to come and your joy will be eternal. You know, as I sat with these words all week, both Jeremiah and Jesus' words, I was especially struck by these curses. And I found it curious and honestly rather unsettling that when Jesus decides to really unload and start cursing people, he doesn't say, as we might think, woe to you adulterers or fornicators, you thieves and cheats. No, instead, he says, woe to you who are successful and happy, you who are well-to-do and full. To whom or what does our heart belong? Our deepest center? That's the question that's being asked of us today. And it is being asked of us, and we need to remember this. It's being asked of us by the God of love, right? This is the God who comes to us in Jesus. This is the God who loves us as his children. And so as he asks this, he's asking this to invite us into his life so that we might make him the center. Because what he wants is he wants us to experience the true and lasting blessing that he brings. And so we wrestle with this question this morning. To whom or what does our heart truly belong to? Amen.